You're listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
We are back again with another episode of the Sofa King Podcast.
Yeah.
I think everybody's here.
We're on a new hard drive.
We are.
So fast.
We're recording so fast right now. It's insane.
It is.
I don't think we can do that really.
What?
Record faster?
I don't know.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
It's recording faster.
So fast.
So we had so many technical difficulties last week. We rebuilt everything.
Yes.
And seems to be working.
That's
except
right.
Not. So we
for
had to,
1 minute.
We had
to, we'll see.
Yeah. We're a minute in
and
everything's fine.
Everything's working great. It's
well, lovely. The fact of the matter is, if you're listening to this, it all worked like a charm.
Yep.
Or it failed colossally and then we restarted and we're acting like it worked fine.
And Brad fixed it because he's amazing.
That's right.
And sexy.
You could give me some credit for taking the whole computer apart and swapping out the hard drive, reloading the operating system and putting all the software back in place.
You popped a panel off and had your tech do it.
I did that.
Oh, did you?
I did this whole thing.
Lies.
I did
the
this
lies
one.
That come out of your mouth. You're so just, what is it called? Like vain?
We had our tech reload your laptop.
Oh.
Not okay. The Sofa King.
He did do that. Yeah. He did a better job.
Thanks.
He got all my stuff across and working. All nice. My pirated programs that aren't really pirated, they're working and fantastic.
Except for one.
Fandango. What?
Lightroom.
No. It After works? Effects.
Oh, After Effects.
Yeah, I don't even use that. I'm not a video editor.
So what's our topic today, gentlemen?
Cancer and the business of oncology.
Yes, cancer
the big treatment. Business of oncology and cancer treatments.
Super depressing. I'll say that my throat hurt. I didn't cry. My throat hurt really bad 1 minute into studying because there was like testimony about like child cancer.
That's a hard one.
That stuff hits home real quick.
Yeah, it does hit
really
home.
Quick.
Yeah, I'm from a cancer-riddled family, so I had to step lightly around this topic. But
then you'll know firsthand kind of some of the stuff that your family went through.
Yeah.
No, my mom had cancer. Like on my wife's side, lots of relatives have passed from cancer, like tons. So
yeah,
I don't ever get colds because I'm saving up for cancer.
Right. Right. Just want to get it all over with in one time.
And apparently 1 in 3 people get cancer today. So I was like, wow, that's great. Like in the last 100 years, it used to be like 1 in 100. And then it was like in the 40s, it was a little more.
I mean, 100 years ago, they didn't know like it's the same thing with any statistic.
It wasn't diagnosed.
Yeah. It's like, kids with autism or ADHD, you know, all those things back, 3,000 years ago, nobody had it. Now all of a sudden every, six in five kids are getting it.
Well, the other thing is, and I don't have any stats to back this up, but it's something that I've always felt is I suspect that as we live longer as a species, our cancer rates are going to continue to increase. I mean, most people I know who get cancer older in life. I mean, my nephew got it when he was really, really young, but everyone else I know who got cancer got it in their 30s, their 40s, their 70s. I mean, you tend to get cancer at an older age. And if we were looking back 200 years ago, you weren't alive that long anyway.
Yeah. Like
you died from a goat like 20 years before you died from cancer. So.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that the saying goes, if you didn't get cancer before you died, you just didn't live long enough.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Like everybody. Is gonna get it.
It's just you're eventually some cells are gonna mutate in an aggressive way and it's gonna land in a part of your body, et cetera, et cetera. The main thing that I looked into as I started researching it is I started looking and I instantly found a bunch of people, mostly wackadoos, claiming that the entire cancer industry is a conspiracy and that there's all these cures, but that the cures are suppressed by the medical industry who make, all this money on radiation treatment and chemotherapy and so forth. And did you guys find any real meat to that?
I did. I found the Brzezinski, like Dr. Brzezinski. They have like a legitimate research center. That seems like something that's real. Like the FDA pursued him legally and drug him through courts time after time again for like 30 or 40 years.
And is this happening right now?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I don't know where it's settled today. But I do know that.
But this is a contemporary case.
So this guy in the 70s, right after graduating from medical school, he discovered something in urine, a specific type of peptide that's found in blood and urine.
Pervert.
And
what was he doing? What was he doing to discover this? This is what I want to know.
There goes the smear campaign, what right? Was Dr. P. Yeah.
He was hiding in bathrooms behind toilets. He was a real small dude, just fit behind the tank of a toilet.
This one tastes off.
Well, what the other people in the medical industry said, hey, like finding something new in urine, like a peptide in urine that no one saw before at that point in time was like, equivalent to discovering a bunch of islands off the coast of Florida that you're like, what? That wasn't there before? Florida, go ahead. Nothing?
He didn't got nothing. So, he don't care.
No, I mean, we're already talking about urine, so Florida.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. I knew you could work something.
He knew it was coming.
So he finds this peptide that's found in blood and urine. And basically, in healthy individuals that are free of cancer, it's readily available. And in people that have cancer, it's almost non-existent. So he made that connection of like, well, is it because something gets destroyed by the cancer, or is it because this peptide is present, the cancer can't thrive? And so he starts his research on it. And so basically the medical community immediately does what Dave did and attacks him for the urine thing. Like, oh, that's gross. Even though since like the 1940s, like millions of women have been taking horse urine extract. It's called like a Premarin or something like that, or Premarin. I'm not sure what the drug's called.
I take that.
It's for menopause symptoms. Yep. It's used in men for prostate, but it's actually derived from horse urine.
And you definitely want a different name. You want to call it Premarin. You don't want to say horse urine.
It's called Premarin, which mare, I'm sure, is the root of that.
Yeah, but that's
from
different.
Horse. Yeah.
Honey, I need my horse pee pill. You know,
that's like an accepted modality. Like it's accepted, like common practice in the medical industry to find things in blood and urine and extract them and then try to utilize or synthesize those things for treatment.
Sure.
So what he finds is something, and I don't know if he made this term up or if it's an actual term, but it's called antineoplastones. And basically what they are is they're gene targeting therapy. And so he's like ahead of his time at this point. He finds out that you can basically target specific types of genes to turn them on and off. I mean, obviously the basics at the most basic level of cancer, you want to turn off as many, I think they're called like oncogenes, like oncology, they're called oncogenes, which are ones that are cancer inducing genes that will turn on and allow like the runaway growth of certain types of cells. And then there's the suppressive genes that you turn on that block those and try to rid your body of those. And for some reason, these antineoplastones turn on a bunch of the good genes. They target several groups of genes, which is a problem. Like right now in the market, there's 25 different types of gene targeted therapy cancer treatments, most of which target like a single gene though.
Which is glycolysis. That's the gene that they target.
Is that what it's called? So,
or that, I don't know if that is glycolysis a gene.
That sounds like something.
I know. Well, no, it's the things that's what all of the cancer treatments right now, they focus on glycolysis to treat cancer, which is why not only does it kill cancer, it kills the good genes also.
My guess on that is it has something to do with stopping it from metabolizing sugar, just by the fact of like glycolysis.
No, I don't know that it has to do with sugar. That's just the term.
It might, because some of the new stuff in the cancer therapy has to do with sugar. Like they found
cancer
loves sugar.
This is from the beginning of cancer treatments, of time when Jesus had cancer.
Yeah.
And they treated him with
glycolysis. They just didn't know. They couldn't diagnose him.
So I'll look that up real quick.
Right.
He didn't even, if he hadn't been crucified, eventually
he would have died of cancer.
Yeah. Just be sure
somebody somewhere is mad on that one. Yeah, so
they would have called it the Holy See.
Anyway, you were saying.
Sorry. I am losing my train of thought a little bit, but so it enables suppressive genes and disables the oncogenes. And he basically targets, he contacts legal assistance because he needs FDA approval, and he needs to know that if in a private practice, is it against the law? Is it legal for him to do biomed research, manufacture, and administer within a private practice to his own patients? If he doesn't sell it and he doesn't do it widespread, he's only administering to his private practice.
And what's this cat's
basically
name?
Do a study.
Dr. Brzezinski.
Okay.
And so he
that sounds suspicious
out,
already, Brzezinski.
It's the Ted Kaczynski thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point.
No, I don't know.
Or he plays hockey.
Maybe.
One of the two. So he finds out it's legal. It's entirely legal as long as it's like warranted and the cases are urgent or something. And there's no other better known medication in place. And so,
well, I think there would be a better known medication in place though.
There wasn't though. Cause when they look at statistically, I guess he starts to do the experimentation, maybe like in rats or something. I can't remember. And it's like,
that's what they all do.
It's four times better than the current cancer treatment. Okay. Like when you look at statistically at like the survival rates, and it's as the further out you get, like 5 year, 10 year, it just declines on the chemotherapy. And the big problem with the chemotherapy is, and that was the one that really choked me up, was right away. It was like a set of twins. They were testifying on behalf of Dr. Brzezinski and his treatment. Like there was a set of twins. One of them came down with some type of like lethal brain cancer, and they went through the chemotherapy because at the time of that case, you had to have tried chemotherapy and had it failed to be accepted into one of the drug trials for the antineoplastones through Dr.
Brzezinski.
And so you have to try the other thing first, which we all know it's poison and radiation. Like the side effects of some of those things.
That's like drinking bleach.
Are as bad.
To kill AIDS.
So what ended up happening was the chemo wasn't working. The cancer kept resurfacing. Yeah. It was this little kid. It was like a 2-year-old baby. Yeah. Her urine was so radioactive. It was burning her skin and causing like blisters and welts. And her skin was peeling off in her diaper because she had radioactive urine. It was horrible. I won't go on with the list of it. But so they finally accept her to the trial, and the antineoplastones completely rid her of cancer. And then her brain just was deteriorated from all the radiation. She actually died from all the radiation exposure from the chemotherapy.
So, and that's kind of what, that's kind of what I fell into was the chemotherapy, kind of like all of the stats of, oh, all of these people died from cancer. Well, did they really die from cancer, or did they die from the treatment?
Right.
That was a big thing that they said, that it's really hard to kind of know the difference between, oh, this person actually died of cancer, and or this person. No, they were taking radiation treatments and pills and all these other crazy things, and then they died.
Right.
So what actually killed them?
And that, getting personal for a minute, that almost killed my mom.
Yeah.
She had terminal cancer, and she was a couple of months from dying anyway, but they gave her a series of radiation treatment, and I went up to visit because she was so sick. And we were like, this is it. Like, she's like, I had a week up there, and I was like, she's not going to make it this week, because she is like, she can't even keep her eyes open for 10 minutes at a time. And then day by day, she got better and she got better and she got better. And by the end of the week, she was up and watching TV and drinking gin.
Yeah.
I mean, she was still really sick, but like, we took her back to the doctor, and the doctor basically said she's only that sick because she got that radiation treatment.
Yeah.
And it literally almost killed her. I mean, she was really, really sick.
That's the whole point of chemotherapy, is to where they almost kill you.
Right.
And if your body's strong enough to survive, it survives.
It's because the drug doesn't know the difference between good cells and bad cells.
No, it just kills everything.
It's like this blanket thing of just throw it down.
Well, and that's what I said about the bleach and the AIDS. Like, you get AIDS. Bleach kills AIDS, but how much can you drink of it?
Brad,
you
know what I mean? Like, that is a Brad quote. Like, that is a t-shirt. It's a bumper sticker.
It's true. Bleach kills AIDS.
Chime in on social media if you want bumper stickers of that. We will make that happen.
But no, it jacks you up.
So on the basis of chemotherapy, there was a case where a 6-month-old had an abdominal tumor, had to have their kidney removed, their adrenal gland removed. They had a confirmed diagnosis of something called adrenal cortical carcinoma, and they recommended therapy for the 6-month-old baby was to take 3 or 4 different types of chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And it was something called mitotane, doxorubicin, etoposide, and cisplatin. So the dad was like, I don't know, you know, like reading the side effects of this stuff, and he looked it up on the internet. So there's a site you can go and look at what year were these chemotherapies approved and some history and background on them. So just to list a few to show you how ridiculous some of this is. He's like, is this the newest and latest greatest? Is there another option? So the first one on the list, mitotane, was approved in 1970. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is 2005.
Yeah.
They're using a drug from 1970, and it was originally derived from DDT. The insecticide kills the condor heads
which
or whatever.
Yeah. Causes cancer.
No. DDT came from Jake the Snake's Robert.
You're right. So Jake the Snake would Jake just the slam snake, the cancer
DDT.
Out of you.
DDT. Yeah. If you had brain cancer, that's you'd a give good it point. DDT.
Get in the ring with Jake the Snake.
So 6-month-old baby.
Whoop the cancer out of you.
Yep.
Give him DDT. Yep. The next one is doxorubicin, nickname Red Death.
Nice.
In the cancer oncology community has gained the nickname Red Death. Let's give that to our baby. It was approved in 1987, and the side effects include leukemia,
So it gives you cancer.
So yeah, that's great. Leukemia, heart failure.
Well, then only give it to somebody with leukemia.
Yeah, there you go. You can't get it twice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You can keep it though.
Vomiting and mouth sores. Oedipocide, 1983. These are all the latest and
greatest. Sounds like it's spraying ants.
Side effects, once again, leukemia, nerve damage, infertility, inability to fight infections, and vomiting. Cisplatin, improved in 1978. Side effects, kidney damage, hearing damage, nerve damage, infertility, vomiting. Crazy. Like, yeah, let's give that to your six-month-old baby, right?
No. They didn't want to give her just one. They wanted to give them all four, actually.
Yeah.
So the newest one of those is 1983?
1987 was the newest of the four.
That's still horrible, this is in 2005.
So, like, none of them
they hadn't even came developed out. Good yeah, they, cocaine yet.
They hadn't even released Die Hard 1 yet.
Yeah. Like,
it's the Bronze Ages.
So they obviously declined that. You know what I mean? Like, if your six-month-old baby's going to die, how about you don't torture it with Red Death all the way till the end?
So they declined,
and they actually were able to enroll in the Brzezinski trial due to the urgency and the age. They made, like, exception, and they were able to get into the Brzezinski trial. The treatment began 10-21 of 2005, and by 8-3 of 2007, the liver tumor was completely gone. CT scans revealed that six lung tumors were almost completely gone. And then finally, a year later, there was like residual of one, but it was finally determined scar tissue. And
so it's basically over the course of roughly 3 years
of that treatment,
the child just got better.
Which what you
better,
have to realize better, with better, that better. Type of treatment, this treatment is I don't know. I think we talked about it before the show. I don't know if I said it on this show, but basically he discovered a peptide or whatever. It's entirely non-invasive. It's a peptide that's already present in your body when you're healthy.
So you just
lots
again,
of people have it.
You pee and then you drink your pee.
There you go. That's
I'm actually, telling you. Yeah. There's no minuses to this, people.
If you have cancer,
our first podcast, this was my thing.
You don't have the peptide though.
Well, so you'd have to drink Dave's pee because
he has fine. The peptide.
Whatever, same thing.
But completely cured. And the thing about this is, like, 3 years sounds like dang, but you still had cancer for 3 years. It doesn't matter if it's going away. The thing about cancer that gets you is the aggressive, out of control growth of the cells that start overtaking healthy tissue.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what exactly is, really quick, what is the treatment? Like, what literally do you do?
It's like injecting, like, intravenous peptide infusion. So,
yeah, so they're going to take that peptide out of somebody's urine that has it and inject it into...
I'll tell you, they actually synthesize it, but we'll
they synthesize it
after the
break. With a Yamaha, actually a Roland keyboard. You synthesize that.
And a Super Soaker.
Kurzweil.
So we'll be back after this. We got to take a quick break. Sorry, but that's how it has to happen.
That's right.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast. Here on Sofa King Podcast Network. We have a network of just us. It's
right.
Funny if you listen to it, if you go to sofakingpodcast.com, it's all us all the time.
The whole network.
It's like a 24/7 just podcast network of us.
That's right.
So if you're looking for that, that's the place to go.
Yes. If you're not, then don't go there.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah. And
look for some different thing.
Yeah.
So I'll finish talking about Brzezinski so other people
can I cut
talk.
You off, Brent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks.
Just trying to get us in the mood here.
So we're talking about Dr. Theodore Kaczynski, the Unabomber who cured cancer.
So Brad
Theodore,
mentioned, like,
that's an endearing
he's still pulling. It sounds like he's pulling this stuff out of urine, but he immediately, you know, from the smear campaign slander of the negative connotation urine thing.
I want to know, what does it matter if it's coming out of urine or not? If it's actually curing cancer.
Yeah, that's a weird thing
if
for
it's
doctors.
Actually going in and eating cancer cells and killing them. What does it matter?
Where does it matter where it come from?
It's a good point. It came into play a lot. And it's like, it's so crazy what the FDA did to this guy. And I'm not going to be able to say it all because there's like an hour and a half documentary called Cancer is Serious Business, Dr. Brzezinski. So it's on YouTube. It's free. You can watch it. It's super interesting. Yeah. It'll make you cry. It'll make you mad.
Nothing's free on YouTube anymore. You have to watch commercials.
I did want to at least talk about his research facility because it does show you that it's not some crazy guy in a weird little office on the corner. They have the Brzezinski Research Facility, which is 46,000 square feet. It employs 5 engineers, 4 chemists, 3 pharmacists, 4 medical doctors, and 4 researchers. And it's like privately funded through like charitable organizations because the FDA and government have blocked all taxpayer dollars from in any way being contributed to that fund. And I think the annual the Cancer Association Fund is $5 billion.
Yeah.
And he has an operating cost of only $25 million.
They give him none.
His effectiveness treatment rate in the like untreatable, like childhood brain cancer which is like almost 100% terminal. He successfully cures people and has all of the paperwork and documents to show it, but they give him $0. And it's his wow. operating cost is $25 million. And they have $5 billion. So, if they gave him $100 million, what could happen?
So my thing is right. we talked about the conspiracy of the $200 billion cancer industry, cancer treatment industry.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a conspiracy like per se, but that would lead me to believe, among other things, that there is kind of it's all about money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that particular case is odd. I mean, it sounds like he's a legitimate medical doctor. It sounds like he's using legitimate science. He sounds like he's using double blinds and the full, studies and I mean, trials and then human trials. And then actually, I mean, it seems like he's legitimately following all that modern medicine.
And he cares to cure cancer and he found something that works.
And he's still being shut down. It's like,
the thing that happens is like the entire oncology industry is built on thousands of doctors that have all learned this method. The big pharma that has all of these drugs in place, the people that make the machines that shoot radiation at you, the manufacturers that make the machines that shoot radiation at you, the just everything that has to do with the entire business of cancer is in place. And as humans across any subject matter, we have a huge resistance to moving on. Like clean energy is obviously an option. You can create all kinds of jobs from that, but we just keep burning oil. You find a cure for cancer, but it's like, man, you have to completely rebuild the industry. And all these people that have a current belief, like there's a story about a doctor who, like, I don't know, it was like before washing your hands was a thing. This one doctor determined that like 20% of women who gave birth died from a specific type of fever within 5 days after. And so one of the other doctors realized, oh, they're going to the basement and performing an autopsy and coming back up and doing another delivery.
Right.
And he's like, I think might be transmitting the disease from the autopsy. That girl had the fever because what happened was a doctor cut his finger while doing an autopsy and died of the fever six days later.
Yeah.
But you know what they did to the doctor that said we should start washing our hands?
Banned him.
He revoked his medical license and he died in a mental institution. That was in like the late 1800s or early 1900s. So if you think like how hard it is, that guy just wanted you to wash your hands and they didn't want to change the school of thought because everyone was like, no, we're not washing our hands.
Well, so you're no longer a doctor, sir.
This poor guy has trillions of dollars in industry against him. You know what I mean?
I think a couple of things come to play. I mean, I do believe industry is going to be self-serving and it wants to promote itself. There was a guy named Thomas Kuhn, K-H-U-N, who wrote about scientific paradigms and that whenever you come up with a new way to do something, there is a resistance to
You're
going to hit a wall. And there's this gradual, progression where everyone finally comes on board with that paradigm of science. And I think the
our podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
It's that the old generation has to die out. It's the same thing with politics. It's the same thing with everything.
Right.
As enough of those guys get old and die, the new people that grew up like us saying that it's not okay, that you need to be accepting of these things, that they rise to power and it becomes a new ideology.
Yeah.
But the other thing that works again, like, and again, I hadn't heard about this guy until you started talking to him, but he sounds like a legitimate scientist doing legitimate science and legitimate medicine, in which case it's a shame that he's not getting legitimate funding because he should be. And that's what we should be looking at, is thinking outside the box and doing that. But I think one of the reasons people look at this guy and assume he's a fraud and don't want to support him are the endless frauds that came before him, right? And are still out right now.
Yeah.
And
one of the crazy things when I was just searching was cancer treatment frauds. Like that's a huge thing that popped up. I didn't know that was even a big deal.
Yeah. And there was a guy, insane. I mean, it even sounds like a similar setup. There was a guy named Harry Hoxie and he ran the Harry Hoxie Cancer Clinic and he started it in 1936. It spread to 16 states. There were clinics all over the place.
Okay.
And, everybody, like the American Medical Association, kept coming after him and saying, this isn't real science. You're not really doing real medicine. And he ended up doing an anti-defamation lawsuit against the AMA and Hearst Publishing Group because they were doing so much to say, don't go to this guy. He doesn't cure your cancer. And he actually won the case to basically say, this is libel. You're slandering his name and so forth. But he built up this whole thing. They had all these clinics. Eventually, I want to say it was in the 19 the late 1950s, the FDA finally came in and started looking at his so-called cures and shut down all of his clinics and said, you don't cure cancer. This is illegal. You can't operate in the United States. So he moved all of his clinics down to Tijuana, and still people would go down there to try to get cancer treatment. His treatment was derived from the fact that he was from a family of veterinarians who had a history of feeding certain flowers to horses who had skin cancer. And then they claimed that the skin cancer went away, and he created what was called Hoxie's Brown Liquid, which chemists ultimately got a sample of and looked into.
I could have come up with a better name.
Exactly. I've had a stomach ache for the past 3 days, so I'm very familiar with Hoxie's Brown Liquid. But it was burdock root, berberry, buckthorn bark, stillingia root, prickly ash bark, and poke root mixed together in some sort of a medium. And I think there was formaldehyde in it. Ooh. And he would make people drink it, or he would apply legit. It to their skin cancer and claim that the cancer went away. When the FDA reviewed it, they found out that of all the people who claimed they were cured by Huxley, 400 who they actually looked into and found out they did have cancer and they were cured. 400 of the thousands of people that claimed they were cured, the FDA discovered either never had cancer in the first place, or
it was just like a wart,
or there was evidence that they had already been cured by traditional chemo and radiation methods. So of the 400 cures, you know, you either never had cancer in the first place, so it was easy to cure it, or you were cured somewhere else first and then came to the Huxley thing.
They did try to do that with like the Brzezinski thing, though, that because they forced the failed chemo before the anti-neoplastone, so that a lot of the cases when they argued against them were like, well, you had chemo before that. Isn't it entirely
that's what they were
viable healing. That the chemo did it before you got that? So that could be some slander, but that does sound
But this guy is healing people with
people who claimed they survived, and I think there was a total of 2,000 more cases. Every single other person who claims they were cured by this brown liquid were either dead or still had cancer.
But the formaldehyde was already done, so
that's true. Yeah. The formaldehyde was already
they were preserved really well.
And it's still going on. You can still go to the Huxley Center down in Tijuana and get Huxley's brown liquid if you want to, because there was a case that I read about this is a real name, a person named Starchild Abraham Cherix.
Oh, they deserve to die.
Starchild Abraham Cherix in 2006 was 16 years old. It was discovered that Starchild had cancer, and Starchild wanted to get the Hoxie treatment.
They would. But they want to do something different from everybody else.
The court intervened and said there's no evidence this cures cancer, and said that it was medical negligence on the parents' behalf if the parents let him go and do this. And the court settled on radiation therapy with a doctor who specializes in alternate.
How is the court going to tell you what you can do? Like, because this is the way America is ran now.
Because he wasn't 18.
This is, your parents should be able to, I mean, you should be able to do whatever you want.
I don't know, man. When your kids got cancer and they're going to die, and you want to take them to someone who's going to spread roots on them, and then they're still going to die.
Yeah, but if you're against doing radiation, which I don't know if I would do it. Because there's a thing, 9 out of 10 oncologists who actually do radiation treatments wouldn't get radiation treatment themselves because of how harsh it is. They would do something different.
Well, what the court basically said was, you're free to go. I mean, you are free to go take your child down there and give them that treatment. But as soon as you come back into the States, you're going to get arrested for medical negligence.
It's so ridiculous.
So the court ended up, settling on, and the parents agreed, we'll give you a doctor who is a traditional oncologist and radiologist and all that stuff, but also practices alternative medicines and, you know, more holistic stuff as well. And he did a mixture, or she, I don't know if Starchild, I don't know the gender of a Starchild as a name, but they did a mixture of radiation. And is Starchild a boy or a girl?
The Starchild, I don't even know. I wasn't listening, honestly.
Okay.
It has a brother, Starfall Lincoln.
Right. So they did a, he or she did a mixture of like new age stuff and radiation and ended up having the cancer go into remission, but they specifically said,
and there again, you don't know why it went into remission. Right. Was it just,
I'll give you that. You don't,
I mean,
but the, they basically just looked at the fact that the FDA said this doesn't cure cancer. So the court listened to it and said, we're not going to let you take the child down there.
I just don't, man, that really scares me. Like just having your rights taken away and some judge telling you what you have to do. Like, that's so crazy to me.
I have a,
like, I understand putting your child in danger. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really out there and you're really going to put them in danger, that's one thing. But like having somebody's opinion just because somebody else says something, no, that doesn't work. Well, that's your opinion. Have you proved anything? You know what I mean? Like, I think
I think the FDA kind of did prove that the Huxley thing was a complete sham.
I mean, you want to protect people and look out for people to make sure some snake oil guy is not doing.
Yeah. And I understand that. Like, I really like that might've been a bad move for them to take him to that dude. Right. You know what I mean? But you're like, now my issues with like, you're going to court and having a judge tell you what you can and can't do for your family. Like, that's scary. That's freaking scary, fine line in society.
Like, that's the argument I had with Brian on that one podcast about, you know, drug use and whatnot.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Brent?
Sorry. It's just in anything in life, I think it's hard for someone to tell you what to do with your life if it only affects you. But at the same time, there's people that are going to try to take advantage of people that don't know any better.
Yeah.
And so you have to have someone there to try to protect you if you don't know any better. Or,
well, you're messing with Darwinian, let them go, I guess. Yeah, you're messing with FDA's population control.
I think if it was Starchild's dad who wanted to do it, no one could have said anything and stopped him.
I think this is new age Sparta. Like, they're like, if you can't handle the radiation treatment, you don't deserve to live.
And I mean, I think a big part of it is there's a lot of snake oil cancer BS cure people out there. I mean, because the thing is, I mean, if you're selling fake medicine and you're trying to get that stuff going on, like the biggest audience you have are people who are worried about dying, people who are desperate, people who are trying stuff that isn't working. And all of a sudden, if you tell me that this brown liquid is going to cure me, then I'm going to pay you whatever it takes in order to, because I'm desperate. And I think they clamp down specifically on people who are trying to, you know, fraudulently quote unquote cure cancer.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pay for it because you're dying.
Or your kid's dying.
Right. Or your kid's dying and you're going to do anything you can to make this happen. And I mean, it's just pure desperation. I think that's what makes it extra despicable is
I couldn't believe when I saw all the things about the people, you know, fraudulent cancer treatments. Like, there were so many.
So much information to sort through too. It's hard to make an informed decision. As a normal person,
stuff sounds
in an act of desperation. Like, it's really hard.
It sounds legit. Like a lot of the stuff, like this treatment works, blah, 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 blah. They have all of this data backing what they're talking about, but really it's some fraudulent, don't know where that data comes from. You don't know.
Is the snake oil guy lying or is the FDA lying?
We could. And do you trust the FDA? You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge thing. Like, I don't trust the FDA, but now they're telling me where and where I can't get cancer treatments because that's legit and this isn't. I mean, man, like that's a fine line.
The FDA, they took Brzezinski in front of the grand jury 4 times to try to indict him for doing that without testing.
And it sounds like you believe this Brzezinski thing kind of is a true thing. And now we're talking about the FDA saying that's fake.
That's exactly.
And then also saying this other guy's fake, which he might have been. But, you know, like, there is a fine line there between letting the FDA decide for you what you can and can't do. And that's crazy.
Anti-neoplastins versus brown liquid.
And that is the thing. It's like, when you first started talking about Brzezinski, I was waiting for him to sound like a huckster that I could shoot down. But it sounds,
he's
a legitimate medical doctor. It sounds like he's doing legitimate science. He's done all the clinical trials. I mean, Hoxie was the grandson of a vet.
His name
too close to huckster in the first place. It's like, he wasn't a medical doctor. He was a scam artist. I mean, he was putting a bunch of flowers in a brown bottle and saying, rub this on your skin or else you get the hose again.
Yeah. If anti-neoplastins is right and they successfully indicted him, if they didn't and he's successful, he's one individual that holds the patents for anti-neoplastic. Yeah. So all of a sudden, all the money in that entire industry goes to one guy versus all the pharmaceutical companies.
That's another thing about those patents, man. It's a crazy slippery slope on what you can believe and what you can't. Like, if you did the research, though, and you could tell that Huxtable is not a real like doctor, you know what I mean? What are your credentials? You're not a doctor. I'm not going to drink your root beer juice. You know what I mean? Like this guy's a real doctor with real backed up studies, and we just got into a paper war. You know, so like, you have the right to decide what you want to do. It's like pro-life, pro-choice. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even if you believe in pro-life, everybody should have a choice. You know what I mean? You should be able to make that choice on your own, do your own research. You know, I don't know. There's a whole lot of just BS that goes along with this, but I don't know. Like I said, again, I don't know that there's a conspiracy to stop the cure, but I think that the big pharmaceuticals want that right and that power. Oh, I don't know if you'd agree. So, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take another break.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Sofa King Podcast Radio Edition. And today we are talking about cancer, cancer cures, oncology, and conspiracies about cancer. So far, we've talked about someone who seems like a legitimate alternative cancer cure and someone who simply rubs brown liquid on your skin or else you get the hose again. But we're going to keep looking at some other stuff. So we want to talk about one more sort of famous case of somebody. And this one's kind of interesting because it's sort of one part mad scientist. And he was a legitimate medical doctor, but he also made some pretty audacious claims. And it was a guy, and his name is just fantastic. His name is Royal Raymond Rife.
Wow.
Dr. Royal Raymond Rife.
So he is a doctor.
Was a doctor. He was born in 1888. He died in 1971. And he's famous for making the Rife machine, or the Rife Ray, which he built. So
did he have a lisp? Was it the Rice Machine and the Rice
Maybe
Ray?
He did. So Royal Raymond Rife was his specialty was actually in he did like microscopes and imaging. So he was, you know, a fairly, you know, and this was back in the day. So he was sort of always on the cutting edge of looking at cells and trying to understand how cells work and so forth. And he started to identify the specific, you know, looking at the cancer cells, looking at the disease and how it was spreading on a microscopic level. And thus far, all of what he did was sort of legitimate science, legitimate medicine. I forget what university he was associated with, but he was a full legit sort of researcher and doctor. But then he started experimenting with ways that he could kill the cancer cells. And again, this probably would have been pre-chemo or pre-radiation therapy. I don't know how far back radiation therapy
Sounds like that stuff started, like a lot of it was in the 70s.
Because this is in the 30s. This is in the 1930s when he did this. So he started to identify. He started to look at different radio waves. He started to look at UV. He started to look at light. And he was trying to find what he called the mortal isolatory rate. Like what frequencies of what type of beam could kill specific cells is what he started to experiment with. And in 1936, he had built his Rife Ray, which ended up using radio waves. And what he would do is he would observe with sophisticated microscopes, mm-hmm. look at the cells. He would keep hitting your body with different frequencies until he saw that those cancer cells were getting destroyed by this particular frequency.
Okay, right. So he created television.
This,
60 hertz.
That's basically it. So this was his claim, and this is what he did. He went into animal trials and cured cancer, tumors and cancers in mice. And then he went into human trials. And even at this point, it's fairly legit. He went into human trials at USC and through the Scripps Institute. So like fully legitimate medical bodies were supporting him. He had like members of various hospitals because he wanted, like, he was like, no one's going to believe this works. So he got a connection of his, a very powerful sort of politician, to get a bunch of really high-end doctors and high-end people on it so that when they saw that it worked, they wouldn't be discredited right away. Supposedly, he did a human trial on 16 people who had terminal cancer, and there was no other treatment that existed at the time to do it. And supposedly using all the clinical methodology, 16 out of the 16 were all cured of their cancers because he put them in front of the Rife ray. Wow. And hit them with a beam. Okay. The American Medical Association, refused to believe that this was a thing.
Of course.
And this became this is one of the big talking points of people saying there's an ongoing conspiracy.
Yeah.
Against,
because he has a legitimate way to cure cancer.
But
medical society says no.
Right. This conspiracy would predate pharmaceutical companies getting involved, because we're talking about the 1930s. Yeah. But all these people that I read about said that the AMA was conspiring to not let his findings be known, to not let it be spread to other medical communities, et cetera.
Maybe somebody didn't like him in the AMA.
Maybe so. There was even a case was found in 1953 and I didn't look into this in any more detail, but in 1953, and this didn't really have to do with Rife, there was a special counsel that reported to the U.S. Senate that confirmed that there was a conspiracy by the AMA to suppress specific cancer treatments.
Wow.
So this was something that people had looked into before. But then he died in 1971. His stuff never made it, never connected.
So 16 of 16 terminally ill from the cancer
were cured. And again, it was at USC and Scripps. Maybe nobody else could have duplicated it. No one else I read really discussed that part of it.
So what do you think? You think it was real or? Well, he sounds legit.
Here's the reason. Well, I don't know, because in 1986, I got so confused, I turned into Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Just one glove appeared on his hand. That was Mexican Michael Jackson. Sorry. What was that? Ay, ay,
ay. That was Miguel Jackson. In 1986, a guy named Barry Lynn wrote a book called...
It's pronounced Jackson.
Go sorry. Oh, wrote a book called The Cancer Cure That Worked. And this came out 15 years after Rife died, and it focused on this. And once he published the book, there was this increased surge of people building and using the Rife ray.
I would have called it like the cancer rifle.
There's still in Seattle cool. Every year, there's like, I forget what it's called. It's like the Rife Symposium or something. And people come together to buy and sell Rife rays that are being built. However, in 1994, the American Cancer Society looked into what it does and looked into the different claims. And they say that all the claims that Ray makes are unverifiable scientifically, and that numerous deaths have been attributed to the ray being sold.
Yeah.
And on a regular basis, people selling the Rife rays get arrested because deaths and like people buy
it
because
like they have cancer. Kevorkian.
Exactly. They buy it and they have cancer. Yeah. They shoot themselves with the ray. It doesn't cure their cancer. They didn't seek other treatments.
They're shooting themselves.
Exactly. Wow. So again, the reason I had my Michael Jackson pause is because I don't know. I mean, there's a chance this guy was genuinely onto something and he might've been the only one who really knew how this worked.
Yeah.
Like maybe he did have a frequency that could destroy certain cells, but he was a medical doctor. He built this thing in his crazy 1930s mad scientist lab.
I wouldn't trust somebody else building the ray besides dude.
I go to Seattle.
It was a radio frequency though?
It was a radio frequency.
Yeah.
So I go to Seattle and buy a Rife ray and take it, home and hit myself with it. Even if that thing did work, I wouldn't know how it worked.
You couldn't measure it.
I'm not using a microscope to look at thing is he would look whatever cancer. Cause I mean, he even acknowledged like every cancer is a completely different disease.
Yeah.
Like there isn't a frequency that destroys all cancer. It's like, if you have colon cancer, I'm looking at those cells in your body and I'm finding the frequency that destroys.
Yeah. So
those
he would
cells
take those cells
body.
Out. Hit them with certain things and see how they reacted. Yeah. And then went ahead and said, okay, you're at,
this is for you.
Hertz.
And then they would hit you twice a day with that frequency.
So you could buy your ray and you would never know the frequency because you're not on that level.
So do I think the guy was legit or not? I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to know.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're doing what seems like similar things to that to destroy cancer cells now using nanotechnology and legitimate stuff.
That's patented by pharmaceuticals.
No, or by, a lot of times by universities.
Private,
but so I don't know if it worked or not. I know it never took off and he got panned as a mad scientist and so forth, but who knows? Maybe maybe in the right hands, that device did destroy cancerous cells.
Yep.
Or maybe that entire clinical trial was a fraud. Or
did it have like an auxiliary plugin? So if I get a rife right now, can I plug my phone in and play like Pandora?
I hope so.
While we're
dance the cancer cells right out.
Rifling, I hope so. Yeah. That's right.
So that's interesting. I would like to, well, I guess there's really no way to find out. I mean, it's kind of a dead end. You know what I mean? The guy's dead. So,
and there's lots of creepy, I only think it's creepy because I think the 1930s are creepy, but there's tons of footage of the guy.
That's true.
There's films and creepy audio interviews of him talking about how they set up the clinical trials, like, how his machine.
Yeah, he was.
Shot him with a ray. That's
pretty much what it is. It's
everybody is doing,
like, and then the coppers came in and arrested me.
But you, Brad, you had a more recent.
Well, yeah, I have an article actually from Snopes.com, and it talks about, the title is actually DCA Cancer Cure. And it's basically about the cover up from big pharmaceuticals that they're not allowing anybody or funding anybody or interested in anything that can't be patented because there's no money in it. So right. Basically the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada, they basically have, they're claiming that they've found, and this article is from a few years ago, and it's from what I've read on Snopes, they believe it to be true. All the information and facts are in fact true.
Mm-hmm.
And, they found a thing, called DCA, which is, I'm going to butcher it, dichloroacetate, on human cells. It kills lung, breast, brain, cancer cells. So it doesn't kill all cancer. Like there's colon cancer. I mean, there's so many different types of cancers, leukemia, blood cancer, all that stuff. But lung, breast, and brain cancer specifically, it kills those cells and leaves the healthy cells alone. And it does this by activating the mitochondria cell, which they figured out that they have to be triggered. So everybody has those cells in their bodies. Mm-hmm. They're not triggered. So you get cancer starts killing you. Those cells have to be triggered. They figured out with the DCA that they're able to trigger the mitochondria and kill cancer.
Wow.
In the specific types of cancer. So right. They're not saying they cure all cancer. Right. It's not some crazy, you know, far-fetched thing. And from the studies that they've done, down to, you know, just the pure science, it works.
Right.
The issue is that they started running out of funding, because it is not patentable and backers couldn't make money off of it. So that kind of dried up. Right. They did get funding through 2010 as far as, you know, keeping the study going. And they, this article is through 2012. And as far as I know, they're still doing it. But it's kind of interesting. And that's where I got into the big pharmaceutical thing was that, because this is a thing that it was already discovered. So pharmaceuticals can't patent it because it's already there. And then all, the backers can't make money off of it because it can't be patented pretty much. And so you're kind of stuck in this.
There's all kinds of tricky stuff to get stuff patented though. I don't know. Like,
well, from what this says, it's not patentable.
They patent like oranges and like sheep. Like it seems like they would have a way.
But I think the way that they found it, it's not. Yeah. It's kind of public domain and there's no money to be made off of it. So the actual cure, I mean, as far as everything and all of the study and research and, you know, doctors that are backing it, it works. But because of the patent issue, there's the funding is low.
Funding,
you know what I mean? They kind of, nobody's really interested in it because it's not going to make money.
But I think you find more and more from what I do, because I'm always interested in technology. Some of the classes I teach focus specifically on technology and futurism. And I'm always fascinated with nanotechnology. That's what I write about in my fiction and so forth. And I know there's a lot of universities that are doing pretty crazy cutting edge nanotechnology stuff, looking at cures for cancer. And again, I don't read about pharmaceutical companies doing it. I read about universities doing it.
Yes.
Because they're interested in the science, not in the back end profit. Yeah. But one of the things is, and actually Cornell University started doing this, which, and everybody, I've seen several people call them Cornell particles, which I think is a ripoff, because actually before Cornell did it, a high school girl in California came up with this. Yeah. So it should be called Herb. I forget her name, but she came up with this while she was in high school.
That's why they don't call it that.
Exactly. Yep. But then researchers in Cornell sort of perfected it. But what they do is they end up taking what they call a gold salt and they put it in a solution. And what they found is if they can get this gold solution, the nano gold particles into your body, then if they hit you with an infrared beam at a certain frequency, it heats up the gold more than it heats up anything else in your body. So you're going to feel like you have a fever while the gold is getting exceptionally hot in your body. And what they discovered is if they can make the gold salts bind to certain chemicals, then that nanoparticle / chemical will be injected into the body and it will chemically bind with a particular cancer cell. So what someone in the University of Missouri discovered is if they take these Cornell particles and they put them in a solution with, I remember specifically they said they took husks of a mango and they dried them and turned them into powder and put them in the solution with the gold salt, the nano salt. They merged together in the solution. And then when they inject them in the body, they now bind to breast cancer cells. So when you heat them, when you heat up the body, the gold gets hot. It kills off all the breast cancer cells in your body and you have no more breast cancer cells in your body. They've done it with soybeans and it molecular. They're just basically experimenting with things that aren't going to be harmful, injecting it into your body. And they found that soybeans worked. I forget what kidney cancer.
It sounds like there are legitimate ways to go in and kill these cells.
Right.
And you know, we're stuck on these old, you know, the old method, you know,
and that paradigm shift has to happen and it is happening. I mean, when
little by little
there's going to be a time where, I mean, and even in America is America especially is in the pocket of the pharmaceutical company. So if this cure did happen, if I could get a gold nano dust injected in my body that would kill colon cancer by giving me a fever. And if this is a legitimate thing, it's like all of a sudden, if they were doing that at a hospital in Paris, guess who's going to fly to Paris and get gold injected. I mean, it's like, even if we're reaching a point where these technologies are coming out so quickly that there's no way to stifle them. They're going to be so cheap to deploy that hospitals themselves could, in theory, completely bypass a big pharmaceutical company. I mean,
it's confusing to me though, if they're coming out so quickly, like we're using chemo from 1970.
Well, because we still have this, we still have this ridiculously slow. I mean, I guess it's not ridiculous. They still have to go through animal trials. They have to go through clinical trials. Then they have to go to human trials. They have to get patented. Get FDA approval. Yeah. Which takes years and years and years, unless they're getting paid off by a pharmaceutical company.
Up till in the 90s, it used to take, 2.5 years or something. But as of 2001, they changed it to 6 months. Like, you can get a drug to market.
Yeah, you can fast track it
in 6 months.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, that's not counting the years of clinical trials and research that you need to convince the FDA that it's a legitimate practice. And that's what they're doing right now.
Unless you already have an insecticide. And you just tweak
it. But the scientists from the University of Missouri was basically saying, we know that this stuff works and it cures cancer, but we're not moving forward to human clinical trials yet because we need to be 100% certain that there isn't a long-term...
They don't want to hit that brick wall.
Well, we just don't want a long-term effect that I've now filled your body full of gold nanoparticles connected to green tea leaves, which is another one they're using, and you find out that this causes some other health thing we didn't know about. So they're trying to do some fairly lengthy, sophisticated...
Because usually you fix one thing and create another monster.
Right. So I think these things are happening right now. It's going to be another 10 years or 15 years, I think, before they're commonplace in the medical industry. But gene targeting, nanotech, specific drugs that target, it all gets into a matter of targeting where these molecules bind and how the molecules reproduce.
Well, that's kind of the same thing with the DCA. They're actually activating a certain cell that attacks another cell.
And that's what that's what the next phase of medicine is really going to be about, these molecular tweaks, these genetic tweaks, these nano hacks that are blocking things from spreading. And it's going to be much less invasive than chemotherapy or than radiation, but we're still not at the point where it's safe for human combustion.
Yeah. So human combustion consumption.
So nanotech is the way to go.
Do you have any special thanks to anybody for helping us out?
Coy for giving us the topic.
Coy Cates actually recommended the topic of cancer. Thank you, Coy Cates. And I will teach you how to get onto them internets and find us.
If I see you, I'll punch you in the face just for fun.
Yes.
Anyway, any special thanks to anybody else before we go?
That's it.
We do, but I got to find his name. So next episode, sir, I will get you. I'll find you. I couldn't find you on the Facebook list.
I do. I will give one shout out to Erica Fisher, who is in Australia right now, plastering cars with Sofa King. Yes.
I'm waiting for those stickers. I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm excited.
She's putting them up in train stations and public places.
If you're listening to this on the radio and you want to know where to find us, you can get us at sofakingpodcast.com. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, get on Instagram. That's Brent's baby. And you can find us at Sofa King Podcast. Just Google, if you suck with the internets, Google Sofa King Podcast. We will be there. You'll see my face on your browser. Well, maybe not, but soon coming to you. So, that's it for this week's episode. If you have any other questions, comments, tell us how retarded we are, that we don't know what we're talking about, please direct them to Dave on our Facebook page and he'll get back to you and tell you how retarded you are. So as for that, are we done? That's it. All right. That's it.
Bye.
Don't be retarded.
At night I wear a wolf's head on my regular head, considering a regular character sketch. Food hoarder, communes with the flora, computes in cahoots with beauty and brute force. I got a brand new normal at a 30 in New York, plus years at the fire pulling portions out of corn husk. Never mind time on the short bus, terrifying errant knights thwarting any motherfucking fork tongue sport. Eye to the flash and a high molar, still his body less a weapon, more a bag of lipomas over medium. Treat skin tags like scratch offs, rap like black ops, rappers like lap dogs. You got the rad moves, caddy out the rap proof. Wait, 20-sided die at the crapshoot. Wait, looking for a black hole to casually collapse through. Try ion 9 by the cat food. There it is. Ooey dooey roast in a bilge. When the skinny from afar is Darby Gold in them hills. Time better let a couple truths decay. Is somebody gonna rue the day? Check, check, check. Catch him on the lamb.
I ain't joking.
No maps, no mustard.
Man, I ain't joking.
I put a pebble on a tomb.
Joking.
Making bathtub meth, I'm joking. Here we go, the whip got a tongue and teeth. It's too tough, two bloodshot eyes with a tungsten blink. Well, any putrefying arrow wants your lungs in reach. I feel the vessel going zero to the fuck y'all think. And when your function fails, I'm on an undisclosed island. Stroking exotic animals, open a rocket science. Leaning a jeweler's loop over a stolen stock of diamonds. Pomade products, a portrait of modern triumph. Try us, back at a battering ram. Post taste, throw mags. Wait till this Saturday plans grow legs. All you hear is intermittent code names. Ricochet around the geometry of a closed space. Unfrozen, part of his new J.O. Base of divine evil, heart of Kamuteo. Some people find the daylight to be oddly alluring. I was in the dark, dodging and burning. Maybe cause I look like an ugly dog.
I ain't joking.
Pack a wallop in the wheelhouse.
I ain't joking.
Leave brass tacks everywhere.
I ain't joking.
I own many, many homes. I'm joking. Here we go. All hot, Tui, no costume. Black hoodie, you can set your watch to. Tall drink, daps like an air raid. Radically detached with purveyors and a harebrain. Down with the ship, go a dozen fried wildlings. Up away, uppercase tri-state style kings. Get pie-faced, sent home tied to the sine wave. Lights off, spine on sideways. Riding down a block, scooping Bobby in a boogie down. Tony told me, tell him hello, 730 Noodle Town. Cool him down, global domination over soul bake. Situation comedy and broke dude cosplay. You don't want a meeting on an off day. Trading horror stories from the hollows. The summary as follows. These hate those and this thinks that's absurd. Yip yap y'all cats and birds. Meow 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 meow.
I ain't joking.
Talking rooms on the radio.
Yeah, I ain't joking.
Suckers never play me.
I ain't joking.
I found Jimmy Hopper's body. I'm joking. Here we go.